tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday afternoon, July the 5th, 2006. Cheryl Batts is the speaker of the service teaching on What's in Your Wallet.
Okay, Lady Cheryl. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good, isn't He not? Amen. Ronnie, I think I'm going to kind of play that at the end.
Yeah.
Are you going to be around? Okay. Well, sometimes you want to say, rain, rain, go away, come again another day. But since the rain is here, we're going to go on. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet and go to the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, we give you the praise and the glory and all of the honor. We thank you for just being God. We thank you, Father God, for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the deliverances that have been wrought in the hearts of your people during this camp meeting. We thank you, Father God, that when we get down toward the end, God, you stop with the shotgun blast and you're getting ready to pull out a .357 Magnum and go for the root of it for those that have been able to weather the storm. God, you knew who all was going to be here today and you knew who all was not going to make it. So those who are wavering about whether or not they should stay upstairs in the beds, they'll come down, God. We just pray that your Holy Spirit will minister to them. And if this is the word that they're supposed to have, I pray that they will come. God, I thank you and I give you the praise and the glory and the honor for every experience, for everything that we have had to endure to get to this place. For had we not been able to stand and to endure, we would not know your very love, mercy, and grace and caring for us. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, of course, my name is Cheryl Batts, and I was listening to Glenn speak to us when they first introduced me, and he said, well, you know, she's been preaching here for like 2 or 3 years, and that's true. But I've been here 6 years. I've been here 6 years. And during that six-year period of time, as I listened to our brother Jim and also Chris talk about covering and sitting in a place until you know that you know that you know. And that's what I did, because I watched Glenn watch me as I watched him, and he watched me for 3 years. Yeah, and everybody that was on staff, they was watching me, and I was watching them, and we was all trying to figure out, what in the world is she doing here, you know? But we all decided that, you know, fruit, well, praise God, I believe that he did too, because he broke a lot of things in my heart. He showed me a lot of things that I would not have been able to know had I not come here, had I not been placed in a position or a place where I was the only raisin in the ice cream. See, because I had an idea in my mind just a little bit that sometimes demons come in color, but, you know, demons are pretty colorblind. I found the same demons here that I left when I was in Chicago at my home church. You know, they have no, they're not in particular. Some of them may be cultural, but for the most part, they're all the same. And they have one goal, to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's their primary mission, you see. And they are not going to allow us on our own to deter them from their mission. Now, we can bind them up and keep them from fulfilling their mission in our lives and in the areas that are around us, those things that God has given us control. But we cannot do it until we find out what's in our wallet. You got to find out what's in your wallet, what's in your heart that will keep you from being able to bind the devil and keep him out of your personal business. Because your personal business and your personal goal is to recruit everybody that you can and tell them about Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and that they have an opportunity by what has been done on the cross by him to reach heaven and to live eternally praising God who loves them and adores them so much that he gave up his only begotten son for them. Now, that's our mission. That's our goal. Any way you cut it, whether you're cutting it apostolically, whether you're cutting it as a pastor or a teacher or however as a member of the body of Christ, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And deliverance is only a part of the big picture. It's only a part of the kingdom picture that God has given us to operate in. It's a good part. I like that part. I like all the rest of it, but I especially like that part because it gives us an opportunity on a daily basis to see the miracles that God can wrought in our own lives. And you know, the more that God sets you free from things, the more he heals you in your heart from fear, the more he heals you in your mind, your will, and your emotions, and in your body from things that are attacking you, don't you know the more you fall in love with him? And the more that you fall in love with him, the stronger you will become in the spirit. In the natural, people seem to think that once you're a Christian that we're wishy-washy or that we're weak. But you see, they're looking at it through their eyes and not through the eyes of God and not through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus was not a weak man. He was strong because he was weak. And there was a meekness about him. And when we operate in that meekness, when we operate under the covering of those that God has given us to be covered by, we become stronger in the things that God wants us to do. You know, I am terribly amazed at when I'm ministering and I look out sometime at a full congregation and I see people looking at me and trying to figure out exactly where I'm coming from. But you see, I didn't just arrive in here 6 years ago. This walk started for me in 1986 and I was full to the gill. And I spent 3 nights a week, sometimes 5 or 6 or 7, depending if we had a conference, with Win Worley and John Eckhart. So if you're looking at me and you're trying to find something and you don't see nothing and you keep trying to go deeper and deeper, you're going to hurt yourself. Because you don't stay under Win Worley and John Eckhart and come out on the other side of Jezebel. You ain't going to do that. You may come out on the other side still full of some stuff that God needs to get rid of in you, because none of us are going to reach perfection until Jesus comes. But I guarantee you that's one spirit you won't have. I labored long for that. And when I see her coming, I know exactly what to do. See, you can see when God delivers you of certain things, you can see them when they're coming. When God delivered me in my mind of manic depression and almost schizophrenia, which I didn't have till they gave me the wrong medicine, and then I was, and he had to deliver me from it, now I see it when it's coming, and I can see it in those around me. So I wonder if God just let that happen so I could have this testimony and so that I could see and that my heart would be full of compassion for those that I see that have that particular demon that attacks their minds and causes them to loop around like they're a 30-second tape giving the same story over and over again and unable to get out. You can't bring somebody out unless you've been in and out your own self. Harriet Tubman, known as Moses, would not have been able to bring the slaves out of the South if she hadn't have brought herself out first, and then she kept going back and bringing them out and going back and bringing them out till she knew the way. So until we've been in and out of some things, you can't lead nobody out. You got to go through something in order to help somebody else. So while we are so busy, I'm always saying this, we get so busy on the potter's wheel, and when God is trying to bring you in and take you out and up and down and show you some things that are in yourself, you start complaining. Oh my goodness, you don't like that potter's wheel. We hate the potter's wheel. It's always a cry to heaven. Oh God, I bind the devil. And you bind the devil 7 times. Let me tell you something, if you bind something 1 time and it keeps coming, it may not be the devil. See, because a lot of times we forget that God is a right now God. Your level of faith is the thing that's going to determine whether or not what you're praying to God for happens today, tomorrow, right now. Y'all don't hear that. And you know why we don't want to hear that? We don't want to hear that because we don't want to accept the fact that maybe it's our faith that is preventing God from manifesting something in our lives right now. Because see, he's right now. I've repented to God, because it has to be in me that certain things I've been praying about have not manifested in my life. It can't be in the all-powerful, all-knowing God that when he speaks the word, it is. A God that can never lie, because whenever he opens his mouth, it happens. So whose fault is it that it's not manifesting in my life? Now, I may have a little help from one of them devils on one of them curses that's on my family line or something that is hidden from me, but it ain't God. So after a period of time, you know you have an epiphany. It must be me. Those are wonderful things for the saints to have, an epiphany. or you come to the realization that, oh, it's me. And then you begin to get real with yourself. Because, see, deliverance is truth. It's truth. It's truth. All about truth. It's about accepting the fact that you are not perfect. It's about accepting the fact that there's something going on inside of you, and there are only two things that go on in the side of any individual. It's either good or bad. It's either God or the devil. And if you're driving behind your car cussing everybody out that pulls in front of you, I dare say it is not God. I mean, how big of an epiphany do you need to have about that? So it's either or within our lives, the things that are working that will cause us to either be able to go on with God and reach the higher heights and the deeper depths of Him that we would like, or maybe fasting and praying is what we need to do. Maybe we need more of that. I'm not altogether sure, because I do know that in each one of our lives, that as we have cried out to God, He shows you some things. You know, the thing that I recognize the most about God is when He shows you things. Sometimes it's like a gnat. It's real little, like this little vision. He gave you a vision, and it's real quick, and you try to get it back, you know, but it was just quick. It was real quick, and you were like, ooh. You know, so you keep on doing whatever you're doing in life, and it come up again real quick. And I'm telling you, it's big. So He give it to you real little, because if He give it to you real big, you want to grab onto it real quick. But see, maybe you ain't ready yet. So it's like a vision, and you say, So you keep doing life, and you keep doing things. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself in a position, and you say to yourself, seem like I've been here before. But it was that quick vision that He gave you that He didn't give it all to you for. But it's that thing that He plants down in your heart that makes you get up every day and keep going. Because why? Because you know there's something better down there. And that if you keep your eyes focused and your mind focused and your eyes focused on what's ahead of you, you're going to reach that eventually. So when He has that, when you get that little gnat experience, don't worry about it. It'll come up again. And next time it comes, it'll be like a fly. It'll be a little bit bigger, you know. And then when He really wants you to know there's something going to happen, it really acts like a fly again, because, you know, ain't nothing worse than a fly. You know, it just aggravates you, just keep coming. Finally, after about three times, you know, fine, God, I'll do it. Fine. And then you find yourself broken, sitting on the side of the bed going, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because that's how you stop a lot of stuff. Just say yes. Just say yes. I mean, He gave you the vision. He done gave you three confirmations from people, and you're still asking Him the same question over and over again. That's not God, folks. That's you. There is something in your wallet that is not credited. You are carrying around a credit card that ain't working. You're holding on to a false $20 bill in your wallet. You got some fear going on in there. See, when you know what's in your wallet, what's in your heart, then you know what you can use so that you can purchase something. Because sometimes you want to purchase something from God. Sometimes you want to get something. Now, I don't mean purchase like purchase, because you know you can't buy nothing. But just go with me a little bit on this what's in your wallet thing. So maybe you need a little peace. So when was the last time you pulled out your wallet and your peace card and prayed for peace for your enemy? How much you got on that card? How much peace you got on your card so you can put it in the ATM and get you some? Oh, God, you say, oh, God, kill him. I'm a child of God. Touch not thy anointed one. Kill them dead, God. That didn't hurt me. What's on your card? What's in your heart? Go with me, if you will, to Psalms. Go over to Psalms 36 and stay with Psalms 36 and 37 is where we're going to be just a moment or two. When I ask the question, what's in your heart? The heart always takes me to thinking about the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And in the heart is the emotions. The things that make us do things. A lot of times we get deliverance from what's in our mind, but we don't get deliverance from what's in our emotions. Because many times we can have demons operating out of our emotions, and we need to get deliverance from those things. Fear in the emotions. Now, in the concordance, it says when you talk about the heart, and you can go there if you want, in Psalms 7 and 9, you don't have to go there, but it talks about God God has checking the heart and the reins of that's within us to see what's going on. Okay, well, in this concordance, it says that the reins, the Hebrews say that the reins are knowledge, joy, pain, pleasure. So these are all things that are in your emotions, except for knowledge, which is in your mind. So we're talking about your soulish area. We're talking about your soulish area. So when you find yourself looking at someone and you are jealous of the gifting of God that's on their lives, what does that say about what's in your wallet? What's in your heart? Why are you jealous? What is it about this person that every time you see them, whether it's in church or whether it's in your, on your job, there's this big thing that comes up and you just can't hardly stand to look at them, let alone them say anything. And they ain't got a clue. They don't have a clue what's wrong with you. Because, see, you ain't said nothing. And what happens? You said nothing. Because you have a fear of confrontation. That's what's in your heart. And once fear is in your heart, it's not going to just stay in this one little bitty place. I'm just going to stay right here. My name is Mr. Fear, and I'm just going to stay right here. See, Mr. Fear is going to take over every avenue that you allow him to get in. And see, fear, I suppose if we could see him in the spirit, it's probably like a gnat. It's about this big. Fear is not really a big demon. But let it hook up with mind control. Let it hook up with mind control. And you will forever loop and go back to that place where fear entered in. And then your heart and your emotions will jump right in there and go, oh, here we go again. She's going to be scared because this here, right here, this reminds her when she was raped and abused. And this reminds her when her daddy called her and said she wasn't going to be nothing. And this reminds her the time her mother called her a whore and said she was nothing and nothing but a whore and wouldn't be nothing but a whore. Oh, let's get her on this thing. We're going to go down this thing again. And there you go. But fear by itself is nothing, but when it hooks up with your emotions and it hooks up with your mind control, you're in for a ride. And it will continue to do this, and you will continue to operate and make decisions out of your emotional area where all this fear lives. You make decisions about where you're going to live, who you're going to marry, what clothes you're going to buy, how I look. If you got fear, you're looking in the mirror and you're thinking, oh, my nose is too big. My lips is too wide. My skin is too dark. My skin is too light. I got freckles. You're not even seeing right. You're seeing through fear. Fear that I'm not perfect. Fear that everything about me is not just right. What's in your heart? What's in your wallet? Because when you begin to pull out your ATM card and you begin to put it in because you have sat in the presence of God and it's loaded to the max with praise about how good God is. It's loaded to the max with the word of God that says you are fearfully and wonderfully made and that God never has made a mistake in the whole time that he has been around, and he has been around since the beginning of time. Then that means that I'm just right. If I don't look just right to you, you got the problem because I'm just right. I figure I'm the right height, the right color, the right everything. All right? The only reason my king ain't showed up is God's still getting him ready, because I tell you, this queen ready. And when God is ready for me, he can, you know, and if we allow ourselves to stay just where God wants us to be, we'll end up with a bank card full of riches that we can go in and stick it in any time and get peace and grace and mercy and love and wisdom and revelation, knowledge and understanding from God right in the midst of your storm. You know, sometimes we think that we have made mistakes, and because we have made this mistake, there's nothing that we can do about it. It's just going to follow us all the rest of our lives. That's not true. I don't know. Maybe you thought God was asleep when you got pregnant. Oh, maybe you thought God was asleep when, you know, you had that problem, was going into Walmart picking up stuff and going out before they got them little things that go off at the door. We all have things that God has delivered us from and is willing to deliver us from that today. And he is so willing to change our eyes from seeing ourselves in fear to seeing ourselves with his eyes. When you pray, do you pray and say to God, God, give me the heart of God, your heart and the mind of Christ? Do you realize that if you have his mind, God, the mind of Christ and the heart of God, that you begin to see yourself differently? You begin to see those around you differently? Instead of being angry with them because every time you get into their presence, you're always arguing? Pretty soon, God begins to show you that that argument is coming out of a place of fear, that they feel insecure and threatened by you. So no matter what you say, you're going to get into an argument with them. So then you say, oh, well, what do? Just not go around them at all? Yeah, you can do that for about a minute or two. But if you want to be able to draw something out of that ATM card, what you're going to have to do is go on, cycle back around and get in front of God and say, well, what do I do? What is your way out of this situation? How am I going to deal with them? Because, see, by this time, if you stay on the potter's wheel long enough and you begin to take on the character of God, there's a lot of stuff that you used to do that you cannot do no more. And one of them is to draw yourself up and be by yourself and not have nothing to do with nobody. And every time you see them coming, go the opposite way. There comes a time when you make the mistake, call it a mistake, of reading the word too much and getting too much of God down in your heart when you realize that you can't do that. Because you start to feel convicted. You start to feel convicted. You start to say, well, wait a minute. If you get a real epiphany, you realize that if you're the one turning around going the other way and you're supposed to be the one filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and casting out devils, then you've got a problem. Because if they're not filled with the Holy Ghost, if they ain't casting out devils, if they have not made that confession in their life, then they're dealing with their devils on a level that is causing them severe problems. And they're crying at night and things are happening on the inside of them. Cancer is standing at their door. Every sickness and infirmity that can come upon a person because they're holding in hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness. But you got the key. What are you running from? What are you running from? How dare you? How dare you run? And you got the sword. It's like I was in my building the other day. I came outside. The fire alarm was going on. And I looked up and the girl was running out the door. Smoke is coming out of the vents in my apartment. I'm like, what? She's going out the door. She ain't knocked on the door. She ain't told nobody nothing. She's just running. She's just running. What? In what? Fear. I'm standing there thinking, well, God said we were going to go by fire. So I might as well see if I can save a few people before I go out. I'm like, God, we got fire on the fourth floor, fire on the fourth floor, and all the apartments. They're like, who is this? I say, you better get on and get out because I'm on my way out. I'm just trying to give you a message. There's fire over here. And if you don't want to be in the fire, you better follow me because I ain't going to be in the fire. So there are these times in our lives when you have to understand that God has placed so much down on the inside of you, and it is not so that you can run. But it is so that you can stand and fight and see the salvation of our God. There are times when God doesn't even want you to fight. He just kind of wants you to stand there. He wants you to have the same faith that Isaac had, that Abraham had when he took Isaac up on the mountain. He told a guy standing down there with the donkeys, he said, me and the lad, we'll be back. We'll be back. Sometimes it's going to require that of you. You can't see it. Can't smell it. You're not having any kind of epiphany. Nobody ain't calling and giving you a word out of the blue. You're just going to have to stand on what you already know. And the prophetic word that God gave this body last night, he's telling you that's what's going to happen. Because there are going to be many that are crying out, peace, peace. But it's going to be down on the inside of you. Now, that's a lie. Ain't no peace. All hell is breaking loose right now. And you better get to praying in them tongues and on your knees and seeking out the true and living God. And the way you do that is prepare today for fire tomorrow. In Psalms 36 in the first verse, and I'm reading it in a different translation. In the King James, it says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. Another translation said, sin lurks deep in the hearts of the wicked, forever urging them on to evil deeds. They have no fear of God to hold them back. Now you say, well, I'm not really wicked. No, you're not. But until we're all completely delivered, and that's not going to happen until Jesus comes, there's a certain amount of wickedness that is left in your heart, which is why we continue to have fellowship with one another, why we continue to read the Word of God, why we continue to seek out His voice so that we can continue to get rid of the wicked one that has placed himself in our hearts through curses and other things on our family line and keep him on our feet so that we can walk completely away from that particular sin. So till that happens, there is just that little bit of wickedness that you need to be seeking God, asking God, and trying to get rid of. And I'm telling you, there are times when you do need somebody to sit down and pray for you, and you will get the wastebasket and you will barf up. But what about when you're out there on your own and you're not in the camp? What about that? What about that when you're at the church or you're on your job and you can feel this thing just rolling around on the inside of you and it's not good? And you feel like you're about to tear something up. You're going to tear up the room, tear up the car. You're ready to kick the dog, throw the baby out, everything. You can feel this thing on you. What do you do? What do you do? You put the word on and you listen to the word, because the word is truth and the word will drive out demons. Sometimes I can remember picking up and reading the word. And as I read the word, I couldn't even remember what I was reading. But I just kept reading it and reading it and reading it. And finally, there was an epiphany in the middle of it. And whatever it was gone. Because the demons can't stand the word. They don't like the word. They don't like the word. In Psalms 37, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Another translation says, "Burn not with vexation because of evildoers. Be not enraged. Do not show annoyance because of the wicked." And then it says, "Do not worry about the wicked. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, nor jealous or excited about the evildoers." Now, see, these are things that will find their way into your heart if you do not put enough into your time, to your ATM machine, by reading the word of God. I have seen so many saints get upset when they feel that the evildoers are getting ahead of them in some shape, form, or fashion. Either somebody unsaved just got a brand new car, they got a brand new house, or, you know, whatever. While you're spending that time judging that individual, which you shouldn't be doing in the first place, because you really don't know what's going on in their lives, you really don't know what God is doing, if you will spend more time with God and less time complaining about what's going on in other people's lives, there'll be less things in your heart that you have to cast out. Because right here, the word of God says that vexation will come, that you should not be vexed, you should not be enraged, you should not be annoyed, you should not be jealous, and you should not be excited over what the evildoers are doing in this world today. This should not bother you. I have a friend that says, "Me, the prophecy has to be fulfilled." So what's the end of the book? We're already moving toward the end of the book. The prophecy has to be fulfilled, everybody. So that means that we need to get busy paying attention to what's in our wallets, because you neither know the day nor the time nor the hour. So we need to be busy not being frustrated, annoyed, jealous, insecure, and having all this stuff in our ATM on our ATM card, because we're worried about what's going on in the world today. Pray when God tells you to pray. Pray for whom God tells you to pray for. But don't spend time worrying about it. He just told you in Psalms 37 and 1, "Fret not." He says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Now, this is a key verse to me. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So what is the key word here in this Psalms 37 and 3, trust. We have a hard time trusting God. So I guess if we were to look at our ATM machine and they tell you you can get 20, 50, and 100 out of the machine for trust, I guess we'll all be standing there pushing that $100 button about 6 or 7 times trying to get trust. Because that seems to be the hardest thing for us to get. Faith, hope, and trust in God. So if that's hard for you, then that's what's in your wallet, doubt, unbelief, preventing you from having faith, hope, and trust in God, so that you can believe the promises of God that are in the Word, so that you can believe the prophetic word that God has spoken over your life. Got to have faith, hope, and trust in those things. When the prophet speaks a word to you, it doesn't mean that that word is going to come true today. It may not even come true tomorrow, but you put it up on the shelf today, this day, in my life. There are words that were spoken into my life in 1990. They are now, just now, beginning to be fulfilled. Now, once again, that might not have been all God, you know what I'm saying? I had a little problem there with my faith thing. Being as imperfect as I am, He might have bought that thing around 5 years ago. But I'm telling you, it's coming now. And so we have the ability to war with our prophecies. If God says something and that prophetic word hits you in your spirit, man, and you know that God has already revealed it to you, and this word is just a confirmation, then you need to be warring with it. You need to be, when you get on your knees and you start praying, and you know your money is all messed up, and the prophet has said, I see cars and homes, and I know that God is going to bless you, and that book is going to come, then you need to be on your knees. God, I thank you for giving me a revelation about the book. I know you told me that I was supposed to write a book, but I still ain't got a clear revelation on it. But I believe that I'm going to write the book. I believe that you're going to give me what I need to write the book. I believe, God, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe that you wrote the Webster's Dictionary and that you're going to help me write this book, and it's going to get to the people that it needs to get to. But if you don't pray like that, that means you don't believe that word. You have to pray in that word. What you do, you're going to get that word and just sit it right there. You need to put it in the bank. You just put it over there. You need to put it in the bank. You need to put it on the bank and let it draw interest by praying over it and believing God for it. Now, some of them words you don't put in the bank because it ain't doing nothing for you. It may be a little too futuristic. Or you can just, you know. But I believe God so much within my heart that God, it's just like binding and loosening. If things are going on in your life and you're binding and it keeps going on again, it may not be the devil, because you can bind the devil. There are things that you are believing God for and you see nothing happening. It's nothing happening. But you know that you know that you know. Don't lose a lot of sleep on it. When you are unctioned by the Holy Spirit to pray, you pray about it and just leave it right there. Because if it's of God, when it blows up, blow up with interest. And if it's not God, you'd be better off by leaving it alone. But I believe in the apostle and the prophet and the teacher and the pastor. I believe in the fivefold ministry gifts, and I believe that they are given to the body of Christ. And I believe that God is raising them up in this hour and in this day. And I believe many of them are sitting on the backside of the mountains, in the hills of Virginia, in the plains of Alabama and Georgia. And that when they begin to rise up, they ain't going to look like us all the time. Some of them going to be black, white, and Indian, other colors, and we better be ready. We few that consider ourselves the elite deliverance ministers. We better make sure that we all fivefold in our mind, and that we ain't just operating out of deliverance, and we're operating in everything that the Bible says we're to operate, because we're supposed to know those that labor among us. I was really surprised to find that there were two women in the Bible that were apostles. I was like, uh-oh, I'm through now. I'm through now. It's in the Word. Oh, they better watch out now. Because all that means is that they have the ability to see and to govern and to set things in order. And you'll find many women that are working in business doing administration. And when they walk in, they can just look at what's going on in your office and look at what's going on in the book ministry, the tape ministry, and they just go bam, 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 bam. And if you do what they tell you to do, everything will begin to flow and shift differently, because it's the anointing that's on their life to be able to do so. But see, you got to know who labors among you. You got to pray and ask God, what are they doing here really? What are they really, what are they here for really? And then you have to be careful. I guess I need to read a little bit more in Psalms 34. Because a lot of times I get off on this prophetic thing, and that's just the way that I am, and that's just the way that I do, and I can't make no excuses about who I am and how God gives me things. I was listening to the other sisters, boy, and I'm telling you, there were 57 scriptures coming out of everybody about everything. I was like, okay, I don't have 57 scriptures. I got this one right here. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There's another part that says, make Yahweh your only joy, and he will give you what your heart desires. So as you take pleasure in being in his presence, as you take pleasure in being in the company of the Lord our God, as you take pleasure in worshiping him, he likes it so much, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. And how many of you know that if you stay in the presence of the Lord, if you enter into that realm of worship with him, that there is also a deliverance that will come? You cannot enter into the worship level of God and not get delivered of something. I have never entered into that place with God and come back out and been the same. That's why when I get there, I just get hog crazy. I fucking all up. Because I don't know half, you don't know half the time what you need to be delivered of or what God wants to deliver you of in that moment or time. When heaven opens up and you can enter in, what do you mean you ain't going in? I'm going in. Come with me if you won't sit there if you desire. I'm going in. See, I paid the price. I paid the price. I almost died. My mother wouldn't have known where I was. I have paid the price because I chose that when I realized how close to death I had been, and a number of times after my mind had cleared from all the drugs, self-induced and otherwise, there was no other God. There was no other God. And I want Him. I want Him with everything that is on the inside of me. I take pleasure in worshiping Him. And when I see my brothers and sisters suffering and struggling, they scared to get on Central Avenue and get out here, scared to come through the doors, I find myself weeping on my bed at night because they're suffering so much that they don't have to. It's just a breath away. And it's all connected, because if you don't know how to enter into the worship of God, if you are still at the tabernacle of Moses and following man's tradition because you have too much fear to change and follow a Joshua into the Solomon's tabernacle, into David's tabernacle for the experience of praise, we still have people that are sitting and listening to the gospel songs of old, and they're afraid to even listen to the songs that are coming out of Solomon's temple, the praise that got on David so much he just shouted up out of his clothes. Afraid because it sounds different. The tempo is different. The people singing it look different. Somebody tell me, when they finally came out of Egypt, somebody tell me, was everybody there blonde-haired and blue-eyed? Come on, work with me here. So they must have looked like a multiplicity of different colors and people and stages and everything when they came out. And wasn't none of them sick, right? So I imagine that the sound that they created when they began to worship God, it was a sound that only you can hear when you enter in and move from Moses' tabernacle into the praise and worship of Solomon's tabernacle. And then you go from Solomon's tabernacle, you go from David's tabernacle into Solomon's temple. And when you enter into Solomon's temple, that's the place that God resides. That's where they found Him, right there. And He was so heavy on them, they could not stand. There is a thing on the inside of us that yearns to go there. And when people get halfway there and move from David's tabernacle and the praise and begin to enter into the worship, and they don't go all the way in, it's something inside of you that go, You know they ain't been there. They stop. Before they get all the way in, everything on the inside of you is yearning for more, because there is more. We cannot allow ourselves to buy a condo at Moses' tabernacle. You cannot pay rent on a house, even at David's tabernacle. You got to keep on moving and follow the cloud until you get to Solomon's temple, which is where God resides. And in there, all things that you need will be right there. It's in the worship. It's in the worship. People are worshiping God in their homes, in their bedrooms. They put on their favorite piece of music and they begin to worship God. So when we all come together, what is it that thing that when we all come together and we all get ready to enter in and then everybody get a little chicken? Trying to see who else is singing. You're trying to see if anybody else gonna go in with you. Fear on your ATM card is keeping you from going into the worship. Y'all need to turn that thing in. Because sometimes you just got to go on in. Because sometimes if you go on in, those who are afraid to go in get the residuals. They get the residuals. And if they get the residuals, they gonna change. Because you can't just get you. How much of God have you got to have to change? Mustard seed? Mustard seed? If that's all I can get, I'm going to get it. That's all we need. That's about all we can handle, you know. Okay? We about can't handle more than a mustard seed. These bodies just can't handle. See, we got, you know, we've been dwindling down ever since Enoch. You know? So it's only so much that we can take. It's only so much that we can hold inside after we get up in there. And He know it. But that's all right. He give you what you can take. He ain't never gave us more than we can handle, no matter what anybody tell you. When it all starts feeling funny and it's getting tight, I mean, it's really tight. You say, oh, God, I praise you anyway because I know I can do it. I must be able to do it because you didn't put me here if I couldn't. Hallelujah. I know I'm supposed to be in Psalm 37. Come on, let's see what else is over here. I love God. I delight myself in Him because I'm expecting Him to give me the desires of my heart. Amen. Because I'm going to be obedient. And I'm going to seek with pleasure in Jehovah. 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust, there it is again. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. So that's a do. Do put that in your ATM card and into your bank. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That in. Because if you put that in and trust him, he say he shall bring it to pass. What is it? Whatever it is that you prayed about. Whatever that is. Family, be it your children, be it your business, be it your ministry, be it focus, be it direction, whatever it is, if you will commit it to him. Matthew 6:33 also confirms that. It says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all these other things shall follow. So when I give up me, myself, and I begin to ask God, what is the kingdom vision for my ministry? What is the kingdom vision for my family? What is the kingdom vision for my business, Phoebe? What is the kingdom vision for those that sit on the board? I need the kingdom vision, God, because if I have the kingdom vision, then I've got your vision, because you're the king. And if we redirect that ship in going into the direction that God wants us to go, then God has no other choice than to bless us, because the word is about the do's and the don'ts. And if you do the do's that he tell you to do, then you're going to get something out of the ATM machine. Hallelujah. Verse 6 is a get. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. If that means he will bring your innocence to light and make the justice of your cause clear as the noonday. All them people have been talking about you, saying you was crazy. Cut off your money. They ain't sent you no money to help you pay for your bills. They've been telling you they're going to send you the money to pay for the ministry and send you the money so you can run your business. They're going to cut off your money. What is in my ATM machine? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Before I cuss them out, before I get mad and tell God to kill them, how dare them come against a woman of God like that? Don't they know God's got a crown on my life? Can't they see that I'm doing this for the community? I'm doing this as a kingdom vision. It ain't got nothing to do with me. And God is going, so the word says, commit the way unto the Lord and trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. So if I am still, and if I walk in the peace and the grace and the mercy, and I stay on the potter's wheel, and I allow him to take off of my ATM card all of the jealousies and the insecurities that I feel when these things start to happen, like maybe it ain't gonna happen. Maybe I didn't hear the man of God. Maybe I made a mistake along the way. If I keep these things out of my mind and stay focused on where I'm going, then I will realize that God has already said that he will bring my innocence to light. So every lying tongue, everything anybody bad said about me will someday come to the light. And that the cause that he placed in my heart to do something on a larger scale than just thinking about me, but I'm thinking about my community, and I'm thinking about bringing them together so that they can have understanding, because the word says that if we come together with one voice, one heart, and one mind, we can have a revival in our city. So if I keep doing what he's telling me to do, and I keep putting that stuff in my ATM machine, and I stay on the potter's wheel, then that will come to light, and the cause that he has placed on my heart will be seen by others. But I can't do it myself now. 7, this is a do. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. There's that patience thing. Patience is like trust. You got to go to the ATM at that $100 thing and push that 3 or 4 times for patience. Because we want it right now. You ever notice how certain things you want from God right now, and other things when you get to praying, you say, talking to people, you say, well, you know, my ship ain't come in yet, but when my ship come in, I'm just going to bless everybody because I know God got something for me. What's the difference between those two things? You got more faith in your ship coming in next week than you do have it coming in today. Man, I want my ship to come in today. I want all God have for me today. My name is not Pharaoh, and I do not want the frogs out tomorrow. I want the frogs out today. I want the frogs out today. Hello. But it requires faith. Faith. You know, I kept wondering about that. But you know, it dropped in my spirit just now. I don't want you all to think it dropped in my spirit yesterday. See, sometimes God don't drop stuff in my spirit till today, right now. It's a right now revelation. The reason he told him tomorrow was because he still didn't believe that God was of the Israelites was better than the God that hit the gods that were in his palace. Because they always told him, we'll be back tomorrow and give you the answer, O great King Pharaoh. So he did what he was accustomed to doing. He told Moses, tomorrow. Get the frogs out tomorrow. Because he still hadn't got a real revelation that all he had to do was tell Moses, I need these frogs out right now, today. And the southern wind would have come right then and whooped them all up into a heap just like he did the next day. But see, he didn't have a revelation yet. All the things that were going on, he was still trying to adjust and acquire them and make them be like his enchanters. He still couldn't get a revelation that the God of the Israelites was bigger than his God and his enchanters. So that's why he said tomorrow. Now, somebody else get another revelation, let me know. We can compare notes. Sounded good to me. So that patient thing, rest and wait patiently for him. See, that's a do. And don't forget, for every do you do, God will get you something. Fret not thyself. So there is another demon that's in your ATM card. You fretting over something. You fretting. You're fretting about something. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. It means burn not with vexation. Rage not against him who prospereth in his way. And here's a good one. Do not strive to outdo the successful, nor envy him who gains his ends. Don't worry about it. Be happy. Because if he got that much and he don't know God, just keep doing the do that is telling you in Psalm 37, delighting yourself in him, waiting patiently on him. And when your do come, your do will be bigger than they do. Because your God is bigger than they God. So just keep doing what God is telling you to do. It's easy. It's easy. Oh, here you go. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Now that's another do. Desist. Refrain from anger. Abandon bitterness. Wrath, hatred, anger. These things all run together. They cousins. They first cousins. They like each other. As soon as one get in, the rest of them will come. Oh, they hang together. They tight. They will mess you up. So these are these things that you don't do. He said, if you cease from anger and forsake wrath, and again, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Because you know what happens when hatred, anger, bitterness comes in? You get stubborn. I mean, they just bring in a whole host of other devils with them. And once the whole host of other devils get in, you know right then automatic, okay, you in sin. And once you get in that kind of sin, then you've already tied God's hands in that particular area. Now you're floating on mercy. You're floating on mercy and grace right now. Nothing wrong with mercy and grace. I mean, you know, mercy and grace brought us all through. God take care of babies and fools. He's brought us all through some stuff. And we look back at it and now say, my, could I have been thinking? So as God brings us through these things and we realize that God is taking care of us and watching over us as we make these silly mistakes, as we look back on them now, we realize that there was a perfect way that we could have gone that we would not have had to experience the things that we did. We could have just shot right on down like a straight arrow by doing the do's in Psalm 37. And we could have come out on the other end without being all scarred up. But it's something about God, even when you zigzag and miss it, that is something about that grace and that mercy that is so connected with love. It's just like any other relationship. When somebody knows that you love them, you know how somebody loves you because of the way that they treat you. They give you grace. They give you mercy. So when I look back on my life and I realize I made all these foolish and crazy mistakes, and I realize that God brought me through those things, I feel more in love with him, knowing that he brought me through the foolish things, because I know that in my own heart, when my own family, my son, people that I love make foolish mistakes, how irritated I become with them. Even to the point of saying, you know what, I'm just going to cut them off. I cut them off for about 24 hours till I get guilty. Cut them off for about 24 hours because I can't take it. But I'm so grateful that God's grace and mercy, he didn't cut me off for 24 hours. What would I do if he cut me off for 24 hours? So we got to get busy with the do's that are spoken of in the Word of God. Because when you get busy doing the do's, then all the get be guys weigh all the other stuff that you've been through trying to do the do's. Amen? He said that if we will cease from anger and forsake wrath, not thyself in any wise to do evil, don't do evil for good. Just because somebody do something to you and you turn around and do something bad to them, that is not going to work. That is not the common denominator for God. Okay? That's not going to work. So, you will do the do's. He says in verse 9, he said, because I'm telling you in advance that the evildoers shall be cut off, those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. In other words, they shall obtain the promised blessings of God. But you got to do the do's now in order to get the gets and to inherit the promised blessings of God. It says here that for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Get out. He's telling you. He's telling you. You just, you know, if you just read this, what is he telling you? He's telling you, hold on. Be patient. Wait. Because in a minute, in just a minute, the wicked will be no more. They'll be gone. And all that that you was going through, all that you was jumping up and down and bucking about, it would be totally unnecessary. It'll be gone. He is saying that, yea, though thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. In other words, though you look carefully for the place where he was, it will have disappeared. And I can't tell you the number of times that I have flailed around being upset till God finally got me focused enough to just rest in him. People, politics, the people in business that would be coming against the work that I'm trying to do. Coming against the work that I'm trying to do. Coming against the work that I'm trying to do. Finally just got to a place where I decided to do the do. Pray for them. Believe God that since he told me that he wanted this thing to happen, that it was going to happen. And I'm going to believe God that it is going to happen. And the next thing I know, they retire early, quit their jobs. They go someplace else. And they get replaced by somebody else who has a different mindset. And we find ourselves etching up a little bit more. So we have to do the do's that God is asking us to do so that we can what? Inherit the earth. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. So grace, patience. And he says, and we shall delight and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And it also says, and be happy amidst the great prosperity. Oh, that's one of the gets, y'all, that we can be happy among the prosperity. And you know what? Prosperity doesn't always mean money. A lot of people want the prosperity that comes with prosperity, the peace of mind. They got money, but they don't have no peace of mind. They don't know where the children are. The children have run away from home. So prosperity, when you read it, does not always mean money. You have to look at it from God's perspective. He's saying to each one of us that whatever in that word of prosperity, be it peace, love, joy, happiness, children coming home, these things can't be bought. There is no price for that. There's no price for knowing that my son is saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and doing exploits for God. I can't buy that. But believe me, that is a part of the prosperity package that I'm expecting to get from God because I'm going to continue doing the dues. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. This last point in verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gashed upon him with his teeth. The wicked man plots against the virtuous and grinds his teeth at him. I had a dream the other night here, and I was like, am I having this dream out here at the campground? This is not a good dream. I saw this thing, and it's like it had the body of a snake in the face of a man. And it's like doing this. And I was like, I was like, you know what? I don't even know what you're trying to do or how you're trying to come in. But I do not like the way you look. You know, so I bounded, you know, and I turned back over and I went to sleep. But then that scripture came to me, you know, about the enemy being wicked and grinding his teeth upon you, saying things about you, hating you with everything inside of them. Because, you know, you can get so an itch. And that's what I saw. But I thank God that God will speak to you at night in your dreams. And he will warn you. And he will tell you of things that are going to happen. So once again, we have to believe the whole word of God, not just some part of it. I have some people that, and it's amazing. And I'm going to have you stand on your feet in just a moment. I have several friends and several people that we know that are battling cancer. And cancer of the colon, cancer of the breast. And one of them is a woman that would just always, I mean, she was just for some reason just didn't like me. And, you know, whenever she would be talking, she would take the stance of, you know, talking to people and doing this while I'm back here. You know, and for a minute I was so aggravated and, again, angry because that was my flesh. But then I caught myself and I said, okay, something is not wrong right with this picture, but I don't know what I've done. So I began to pray. She's Jewish. Her Jewish family members call me a week and a half ago, and this is not the first time they've called me and asked me to pray for their family members and asked me if I would pray for her. I said, I thank God. I said, not a problem. I will pray for her. And I have, and I did, and I will. A double mastectomy. I say that to say to you that God wants us to be in a position to pray for people no matter what. That's how we fill up our ATM cards. That's how we get stuff in so that when we need something back and we can't say nothing but, yes, Lord, you can hear the cha-ching. You're finna get something back on your interest and what you've put in. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet. Kind of stretch your arms to the Lord right now. Ronnie, would you come and help me? This is a song that, a worship song that I really, really love. And I want to share it with you. Father God, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father God, that everybody here, because it has come straight from your womb, straight from your heart, has received something. I pray that it would fall on good ground in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we take authority over every demon that would stop or hinder the word. We bind and break the spirit of fear. We bind and break the spirit of disobedience and distrust. We bind and break every hindering spirit to your word, rooting in and doing the work that it should do. We bind and break the spirit of mind control and holding on to the past and the traditions of men and being afraid to move from the Moses tabernacle into David's tabernacle, into Solomon's temple where we can worship and praise. We bind these devils right now in the powerful name of Jesus, the name that every knee must bow to. Father, we praise you. We give you glory. We bind the spirit of rejection and fear that causes the people to fear that they are not beautifully and wonderfully made, causes them to not to be able to go forth and to change when God tells them to change. We break every spoken word curse over them that they're ugly and they'll never amount to nothing. We break every spoken word curse over them of sickness and infirmity. We break the curses of mind control. We break those spirits off of them right now in Jesus' name. We break off the spirits right now in the name of Jesus of oppression and depression. Manifest yourself and go and loose the people of God in the name of Jesus. Right now in Jesus' name, go. Loose them now. Unshackle and unbind and uncoil from their emotions. Unshackle and uncoil and unwind from off of their shoulders and off of their legs and off of their backs. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirits of diabetes. I come against that spirit of thyroid problems. In the name of Jesus, we call for a recreative miracle. And we curse these sicknesses at the root in Jesus' name. Go, devils, move now in the name of Jesus. Move off the people. Come out of their mind, their wills, and their emotions. And we speak to their spirit man and say, rise up, O spirit man, and begin to super rule in their lives. Push up those things that are not like God out of their hearts and out of their souls in the name of Jesus. Oh, Roboshande Yoko Rabasata Yaraboshe Handirio Sende. All those vexation spirits, those spirits of witchcraft and mind control and Jezebel spirits, all of those spirits, manifest yourself and go. Unwrap and uncoil and unlink right now in Jesus' name. We loose the spirit of peace. We loose the spirit of joy. We stir it up on the inside of them right now in Jesus' name. All right, depression, go right now. Spirit of mockery, the spirit of the Antichrist, go in the name of Jesus. Manifest yourself and go now in Jesus' name. All those questions about who God is and whether God loves me and why this hasn't happened and what I need, and I break that down in the name of Jesus, that your people will enter into worship and stand before you knowing that you are Lord of lords and King of kings, and there is no other God. You will fulfill their every need. You will shine upon them, O God, as they worship you, and all of their needs shall be met in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hando robo shatara yoko robo shiri di asata roshikiri di osenarara. Glory, glory, hallelujah. We worship you, O God. Mnande yororobo shena yoko robo shata. And we thank you, God. We worship you, God.
Somewhere that I
Called us to be, then we can see ourselves hiding in the safety of his arms, climbing up the folds of his garment until we sit just under his heart with our broken hearts and our challenges and our problems and all of the things that it's in his arms that he sets us free. It's in his arms that we find our true character. It's in his arms that our true DNA is made manifest. It's in his arms. Now, God, I thank you. I thank you, Father God, that this word, Father God, is resting heavily upon your people. I thank you, Father God, that when they lay down to sleep tonight, that, God, they will see themselves as you see them. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for the word that has already gone forth. I thank you that I didn't have to plow through because the words that have come forth, Father God, up until this time have preset and caused us to sit and to be hungry and to know that you love us, that we're saved, that you have joy for us, that the fruit of the Spirit is ours for the asking, that we have a full-grown Jesus on the inside of us. And in that complexity of understanding, there's a full Jesus inside of us, that we are fully grown yet still children in your sight, that we come and we rest in your arms. God, I thank you for that. We give you the praise and the glory and all of the honor in Jesus' name. And thank you, Father God, for every one of the armor bearers in this camp, the food that has been prepared. We ask you to bless it and to sanctify it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.